Amen. Thank you, Mama. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts this morning, the book of Acts, chapter number 16. I hope this is a blessing to you up here for you folks who have a hard time reading your Bible. I hope it's a little bit easier for you, especially when we have to go through a lot of scriptures. We'll go ahead and have those up there for you to follow along. So take advantage of those things. Amen. It's not here to replace the Bible at all, because the Bible is always going to be our authority. By the way, this is the Bible. It's just in digital form. Amen. Thank God for technology. You see up there, this is how to worship, part number two. We dealt with this last week. We dealt with a few things last week. But tonight, or this morning, we're going to be dealing with midnight singing. And we'll see this through the scripture. So let's begin reading in verse number 25. Of the book of Acts, chapter 16. We're going to read down through verse number 24. Verse number 25 down through verse number 24. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and what? Sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house.'" Did you guys catch that? Let me read this again. "And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house.'" Verse number 32, it says, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Think about that. I know that you and I, as believers, desire for our whole household to be saved. But unfortunately, we also know that that might not take place in a lot of people's lives. Why? Because God created us all with a free will, with a free choice. You can either accept Jesus Christ and be in his presence, or you can either choose to deny Jesus Christ and go to the very depths of hell. But look at what took place because of the singing at midnight while Paul and Silas were in prison. A jailer, out of all people, trembled, was in fear of his life, wanted to kill himself. Paul sees it from afar off and says, hey, jailer, don't do this. You don't have to kill yourself. We're all here. No one's leaving. And then he says, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they say this, you and your whole household will be saved. Woo! That's powerful. I don't know about you, but that's powerful. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be here this morning. We thank you for your mighty hand of salvation that you have stretched out to us this morning. Lord, I know for a fact that as we sit in here this morning, that there might be somebody here that's never accepted you as Lord and Savior. And why do I know that? Because you had 12 followers with you, and one rejected you. So Lord, I pray, whoever that may be, I don't know who they are. I don't know if it's a young lady, a young man, or an older lady, or an older man. God, I don't know those things. but you do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to that individual's heart so that they can turn away from their wicked lifestyle and turn to you and accept you as Lord and Savior, as did this jailer. And Lord, when they die, they'll be forever in your presence. And Lord, if they do that today, let us be a church that rejoices with them. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. How to worship, part number two, and that is through midnight singing. This morning, we will continue to look at the importance of worshiping God. Last week, we dealt with how to worship, and the process was rather simple. I hope you took some notes last week. And that process is this. One, we are to draw to him. We dealt with that in the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 8. And then we are to come to God with clean hands. We discovered last week why David was not able to partake in building of the temple because his hands were stained with blood. And so that passed on from him onto the future king, Solomon. And Solomon was able to build the temple. So clean hands are important. And then the third process is this. To have a heart that has been purified. So how are we supposed to worship God besides reading his word? And that's a good question to be asked. And that comes in the form of adoration through singing. Singing before the service is getting the hearts prepared to receive the message that God has in store for us. Do you realize that's what takes place? I'm going to explain a little later on why some hearts are not willing to receive the message, and that is this, because they do not partake in the singing process. Singing prepares the heart to receive the message that God has in store for us. I was thrilled. I don't know who it was, but I know yesterday as we were sitting in the van on our way back, I didn't really pay attention on the way there, but on the way back, I heard some soft voices singing last night. And oh, how that thrilled my soul. You know what that was saying? Well, that was saying to me, man, I cannot wait to get into church tomorrow. That's what I was getting out of that. David, in the book of Psalms, which we will reference today, spoke on many occasions the importance of worshiping God through singing. Not only are songs a blessing to the Lord, but they are also a blessing to those who sing them. There's a great deal of preparation that a lot of you folks don't realize before they even get up into the pulpit to sing a song, the preparation that takes place. I'm going to share a little secret with you. My wife throws in a lot of hours of practice before she even gets up here and sings a song. Well, why does she do that? Because she wants to get all those emotions out beforehand so that she can give a clear voice and get the message across. There is a lot of preparation in what Mrs. Springer put in this morning, just writing down the very words and allowing that tune to go over and over inside her head. By the way, it's very difficult to sing a cappella. It's very difficult to be able to keep that on tune as you're singing to a group of people. So it's a blessing to those who sing them. There's a reason why a song was being sung last night in the van, because there was a blessing to their hearts. Songs minister to the heart of those that are discouraged. How often do we go and sing a song to lift our spirits? We do those things. Paul and Silas were in prison, probably discouraged. Now, if I was in prison this morning, I would be discouraged. Before I go on, I need one volunteer. One volunteer to look up two songs for me. One of them is Holy, Holy, Holy. I'll need the page number for the end of this. And then the other one is I Will Sing the Wonder Story. Two of my favorite songs. So if I can have a volunteer to say, Brother Chad, I will do that for you this morning, and I'll need you at the end. And nobody's raising their hands this morning, so thank you, Uncle Greg. Appreciate those things. Well, man, I was scared. That was going to ruin my whole deal this morning, but thank you for doing that. Paul and Silas were in prison, probably discouraged. Instead of focusing on the situation that they're in, here's what they decided to do. Here is what they were moved to do, and I believe they were moved to do this because of the Holy Spirit. They decided to sing a song. And while they were singing a song, their song was a blessing to the Lord. This may come to a surprise to some folks, but please pay attention as I am saying this. I am not against worship services. Pay attention, please. What I am against is the worship service bringing glory to man. That is what I'm against. I am against the worship service bringing glory to man, and I'm against the worship service leaving God out altogether. The focus of a worship service is to be upon God. It's not to be upon the singer. Hey, look how great I am. Listen to my voice. I'm going to bless you with the greatness that I have so that you can all be blessed because my voice is so glorious. No, that's bringing glory to the individual. That's not bringing glory to God. The focus of a worship service is to be upon God with, let me say this, with godly songs. A lot of worship services that take place across our country today has no godly music involved. They're not worshiping God, folks. They're worshiping who? They're worshiping man. So I want you to understand why I'm saying these things. A worship service doesn't require a smoke machine. Amen? It doesn't require a smoke machine. A worship service doesn't require flashing lights or strobe lights. Here's what it requires. It requires a heart being in tune with who? Being in tune with God. How are we to worship? We worship God through song. And singing brings praises to God. Do you realize God has been glorified this morning through our worship service? Amen? God has been glorified this morning through that. We all have different styles of music that we like. But songs that stir up the flesh has no business in the house of God. Do we have a problem here this morning? Let me say this again. Songs that stir up the flesh. I'm not talking about stirring up your spirit. I'm talking about songs that stir up your flesh has no business in the house of God. Thank you. We should always use spiritual discernment when it comes to music. We all should want God-honoring music. Amen? There is a time and place for things. But ungodly music does not belong for worship in the house of God. Singing changes lives. Amen? We see this in the book of Acts of chapter number 16. While Paul and Silas were singing, here's what it did. Did you see this? Let's look at this again. Verse number 25, it says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. I want you to understand what took place before they even sang. They prayed. Amen? Chad, you're hitting on prayer again? Yes, I'm hitting on prayer again because it's in the Word of God. If I'm to leave it out, then I'll be foolish. So at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Look what took place. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. It moved the earth to quake. The jailer who was there was very scared at this time, for he thought his prisoners were freed. Think about that. You're being paid to sit and to watch your prisoners at night. It's not a time for you to fall asleep. It's a time for you to be more alert and more awake. And they fell, and he fell asleep, and then the chains were loose, and now he's scared to death to the point where he was going to kill himself. But here's what happened. They stayed. They stayed. They didn't go anywhere. But here's what happened next. The jailer asked Paul and Silas this question: what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? They didn't waste a moment. And that night, the jailer became a child of God. How did that take place? That took place for two reasons. Two men were in jail, and they saw their circumstances weren't very great, and so they decided to do two things that were going to be very life-changing, not just for them, but it's going to be very life-changing for a jailer and for his household, and that is this: they prayed. Before they even sang praises to God, they met with God through meditation, and that is through prayer. Prayer began this process. And then they moved on to the point where they were going to sing. And their singing was a place for them to worship God. It was a place for them to bring praises to God. And God moved in a mighty way. How did he move in a mighty way? He caused the earth to quake, and then souls were saved. This didn't stop with the jailer. This salvation, as I mentioned earlier, had spread to his whole household. When God is worshiped through song properly, he will pour out his blessings upon us. How should we sing? How should we sing? Well, personally, I believe we should sing with a joyful heart. If it's not up there on the screen already, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 9. Book of Psalms, chapter number 9. And it says here in verse number 1 and 2, can't get my page to turn, says, I will praise thee, O Lord, say it with me, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Do you see what it says here? It says, I will be glad and rejoice. You know, singing brings a glad heart. Do you know this morning that singing brings a heart that is rejoiceful? Amen? Get used to this word rejoiceful, because that's going to be our theme tonight as we dive into the next word of fruitful. We're going to be looking at the word rejoicing tonight. But I'm going to share something with you, something that really bothers me. I'm going to be honest with you folks this morning. Believers who don't come, who come to church and don't even bother singing for the Lord, that bothers me. You know what that's telling me? That's telling me you're not happy. That's telling me that you're not glad. And that's telling me you have no song in your heart to rejoice to the Lord. Here is why you might not be someone who sings in the church. And please pay attention. And you might say, "Well, man, you're picking on me." No, I shared with you this morning. Things that I talk about are things that I go through as well. So here's some reasons why you might not sing. One, because you're an unhappy person. You know, we have a lot of unhappy believers in churches today. Do you want to know why they're unhappy? because they forgot who their God is. Plain and simple. You are miserable in your surroundings, and you have lost your joy. So let me repeat these three things of why you are probably not singing in church this morning. One, you're unhappy. Two, you're miserable in your surroundings. Three, you've lost your joy. Why do I bring this up? Because David had every right to be down in life. But he was glad, he was happy, and he was able to rejoice. Why? Because he knew who his God was. And because he knew who his God was, he turned to him in song and began to sing praises to him and began to worship him. Amen to that. I wish you could see what I see standing up here on occasions. And I will tell you this, it will make you sad. I'm going to share with you why I sit down for the last two songs. Because I don't want to be discouraged by seeing some of God's people being so miserable. It hurts, it breaks my heart to look out onto God's people who have said they've accepted him as a Lord and Savior. They're happy that they're going to be in his presence very soon, whether it be through the rapture or be whether through death. And here all we do, we come here and we sit and we don't even look up at the screens. We don't even look up in our songbook, and we just sit with a sad look on our face and say, woe is me, I'm a miserable, I'm an unhappy person. God is not worthy to be lifting my voice to him. God's not worthy for me to be worshiping him. And I'm just going to sit here and be miserable in my sorrows and let everybody see how unhappy I am. And folks, that is why I sit down. Because I don't want to come up to this pulpit and be discouraged and see believers who have lost their joy for God. It breaks my heart to see those things take place. And it's not just sitting, it's just standing there, not even giving an ounce to open up the songbook. Not even giving an ounce or any type of strength to look your eyes upon the screen to see the songs that are up there. Why are we so miserable? Do we not know the God that we serve? Have we lost that joy that God gave us upon the day of salvation? I understand that some of us have been saved for 30, 40, maybe 50 years of life. But that should still be time for us to come in and be rejoiceful of the fact that God saved us from a hell and saved us into heaven. And because of those things that come with it, the blessings that he's bestowed upon our life, he's given us a healthy marriage, he's given us healthy children, he's given us our home, he's given us our cars and all those things, and he's given us our jobs. And the least that we can do is come here and be ready to sing glory, glory, hallelujah. But yet we're miserable. And we're miserable because we've lost our joy. Whatever you're going through, let me be an encouragement to you. Give it to God. Why do I say give it to God? Because I want you to have your joy back. I want you to be happy. I want you to be joyful. I want you to be able to rejoice. Just give it to God. Reclaim the joy that you once had after you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Reclaim that joy that you once had after you rededicated your life back to him. Reclaim the joy that you once had when God forgave you of your sins. Reclaim your joy. Be excited that you serve a risen Savior this morning who has forgiven you of your sins and has given you a home in glory. That is something for us to rejoice and to sing about. There is victory in Jesus. Why do we have victory in Jesus? Because he died for you and for me. We are His children. We have a reason to be happy. We have a reason to be glad. We have a reason to rejoice. Why do we have that reason? Because He is our King. And He's going to come back and claim us as His own very soon. And that is something for us to have a happy heart about, to be able to sing. And you might be saying, well, I'm not happy this morning because I've allowed things to rob me of my joy. I've allowed circumstances to rob me of my happiness. I've allowed those things to happen because I have taken my eyes off of God and I put those eyes upon myself. Or you might be that individual and say, I'm not able to sing happy. I'm not able to rejoice while I'm singing because I know my soul is destined for hell. I've never called upon Him as Lord and Savior. I don't know what it means to what you're talking about, that He is our King. I don't know what you're talking about this morning. But I hope that you'll be able to come to that conclusion today, that you can get that taken care of. I'm going to address why you might be miserable. Maybe because you've never put your trust in Him. Listen, you can come to church and still be lost and going to hell. Do you realize that this morning? You can sit underneath all the fantastic preaching that you can surround yourself with, whether it be through the pulpit that you're looking at this morning, or whether you get on the television and see some of the great preachers that are out there, or even on the radio. By the way, please use spiritual discernment if you do those things. Please find out their testimony. Please find out their background before you get so involved with them. But you can come to church and still be lost and going to hell. Perhaps this is why you have no song in your heart and you're unable to worship God. Why do we sing? Next picture, please. Why do we sing? Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 95. Book of Psalms, chapter number 95. Says this. Why do we sing? It says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Why do we sing this morning? Because He is the rock of our salvation. Why are we to come to Him and sing? We are to be making a joyful noise in the Lord. It doesn't matter if you sing on key or off key. He just wants you to be joyful. I said earlier that singing prepares the heart for worship to receive the message from God. Here's why a majority of messages, I want you to listen to this, I'm going to say it again. Here is why a majority of messages have no response to them. And I'm talking about moving out of your seat and coming down to the altar and giving the things that you need to give to God. By the way, you can do it in your seat, but I encourage you to get down to the altar. And here's why there's no response. Because singing is absent from your life. You know why hearts and souls are changed at camp? Because of the joy that comes in from the song leader and encourages everybody to begin singing. Singing prepares the heart for the message that's going to be received. And as that message is received, we're going to examine our own heart and life. And then once we examine our own heart and life, we're going to come to realize that we need Jesus Christ now more than ever. And we lay it all on the altar. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles, the book of Colossians chapter 3 this morning. Colossians chapter number 3 this morning. I'm actually going to read it off this because my Bible's sticking this morning. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, what's it say? Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, the book of Psalms is really a collection of songs that David wrote out to the Lord. So this verse here gives us proof of what I just said. When you have a song in your heart, the word of God will be dwelling within you. When his word is in you, it will bring changes to your life. Why sing? Why do we sing? Go ahead and turn to your Bibles to the book of Psalms 147. We're winding down here very quickly. Book of Psalms 147. And forgive me for putting that up there. It shouldn't be why you sing. It should be where do you sing. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. I'm going to get to what I'm bringing here. If you can't bring yourself to sing, maybe it's time to check your heart and get things right with God. Now, where do we sing? Psalms 150. Psalms 150 says this in verse number 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Let's put another word in there. I'm going to read this again, and we're going to use the word church. Okay? Read it out with me. Psalms 150, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his church. Praise him in the firmament of his power. The word sanctuary means church. I'm not changing the word of God. I want you to understand that. The sanctuary is purposely mentioned. When we come to church, we should be ready to sing and ready to worship God. Greg, do you have those songs for me? Page 9, someone look up the other one for me. I will sing the one a story. Who's got that? Lindsay, you looking at it for me? Okay, Lindsay's going to look at that. I want you guys to all turn your songbooks to chapter 9. And I'm going to read this. And when I read songs, I have a tendency, because it's like poetry to me, I have a tendency to act out on those things. But listen to this. This is, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee. That's you and I this morning. If we're a child of God and we're saved, he looks at us as saints. All the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which wert and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, love, and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and in sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. What's the next one, Lindsay? 339. It's one of my favorite songs. We got time, so don't worry about it. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Think about the author here and why they came to this part. how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone, and fears possessed me. But he freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come over me. Sorrow paths I've often tread, but the Savior still is with me. By his hand I'm safely led. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory gathered by the crystal sea. Why do we sing? We sing because we want to worship our Heavenly Father. We sing because we want to bring praises to Him. Where do we sing? We sing in His sanctuary. In His sanctuary, it's not a time for us to come and be so miserable and be so unhappy. It's a time for us to be joyful and to reflect back on how good God has been to us. And to see the changes that He has made in our lives. No matter what we have gone through, no matter what we're going to even face in the future, our God is with us. And we need to be joyful and lift our voices, whether it be good or whether it be bad. It just says to have a joyful noise unto the Lord and to sing praises to Him. Why have we allowed the world, why have we allowed Satan to rob us of our joy this morning? To be worshiping God the way He deserves to be worshiped. And we don't respond to the messages because there's no song in our heart. There needs to be a song in the heart. I can help you with your discouragement. I can help you with your unhappiness. I can help you with your loss of joy. And that is directing you right back to God. And allow Him to put a song in your heart. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I don't know what else to do or what else to say this morning, but I'm just going to have a word of prayer. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning and you know that you need to take care of business with Him, you know that your worship has not been great the way that He designed you to be, and folks, I am in that category. And here's the altar. What are we going to do? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, you've been speaking to hearts. I know that because my heart's being spoken to. So God, I pray that you take control over these next few moments that we have. I don't care if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I don't care if it's another hour. If we got to be here to take care of business, these doors are open and I will be here. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's not singing because they've lost their joy, they have allowed situations to control their emotions and not allow you to be the God in their life, Lord, I pray that you would allow them to come forward this morning. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's not able to sing and praise you through worship because they have not accepted you as Lord and Savior, they know if they were to die, they would go to hell right now. God, we can help them in this area. So, Lord, I pray. Lord, I beg you to work and move in the hearts of your people. In your name, amen.